Hello, and welcome to Around and About Chattanooga. I am your host, Michael Edward Miller. An historic vote begins in Chattanooga today. About 1,600 workers at the city's Volkswagen plant are going to participate in a secret ballot election on union representation. Pro-union and anti-union groups are campaigning. Some of the rhetoric is pretty harsh. For example, anti-union billboards are up all over town, and one billboard says, "Auto unions ate Detroit. Next meal, Chattanooga." In this segment, we're going to examine that claim. Is it really fair to say auto unions ate Detroit? Dr. Norman Solomon is a professor of management at the Charles F. Dolan School of Business at Fairfield University in Connecticut. Dr. Solomon sounds skeptical about claims that the UAW ate Detroit.
I don't buy that argument.
He says unions have a purpose to protect the workers, and he thinks that a union in Chattanooga could have an overall positive impact and give workers a little more of a say in what happens day to day in the plant.
My understanding of that situation is that something Volkswagen would welcome, because you know what a lot of people don't think about when they think about unions in the workplace is that unions help to regularize things and have people talk to each other, if not as equals, but at least management saying, okay, these workers have a point and we'll listen to what they have to say.
He says he doubts the UAW would want the plant in Chattanooga to be harmed in the long term.
Why would they want that? They want it to be a symbol of how labor and management can work in cooperation. So if that's the case, and so they can organize other plants, that's what unions do. If that's the case, then I would think they're going to do everything in their power to make sure that the agreement is a successful one. And I think, if anything, the UAW has showed itself to learn from what's happened in the past.
So about that past, about the claim that, again, the UAW ate Detroit, I spoke with someone who's a little more critical of the UAW. Philip Wilson is president of the Labor Relations Institute. That's a consulting firm in Oklahoma. According to their website, they're dedicated to maintaining the union-free workplace.
What really hurt Detroit wasn't so much, it wasn't just the unions.
To talk about why Detroit declined, he starts in the 1940s, the economic boom after World War II.
The auto industry and all of the other industries that grew up around it, came at a very interesting, unique, and probably unprecedented time in American history and in world history, which is right on the heels of World War II, where the rest of the world was basically, in shambles. You could say the only country that really won World War II was the United States. And out of that came, a lot of, great things for Americans. So the labor force was smaller. American workers had a whole lot more leverage, whether they had a union or not. And not surprisingly, because of that, unions and the middle class sort of grew hand in hand, which is not to say that unions grew the middle class, but they just sort of grew at the same time.
But then, he says, the economy changed. Foreign competition stepped up.
What happened is that a lot of the things that were gained by unions as the economy grew, a lot of those things were not sustainable. The UAW, and they were just doing their job, but they were doing everything that they could to kind of keep what they had gained, back when they had a whole lot of leverage. And that did create an unsustainable situation for American automakers. And that's why, one of the major reasons why Detroit has had such a tough time.
Zan Blue is an attorney in Nashville. He's a partner in a national labor and employment law firm.
Constangi Brooks & Smith is a labor and employment firm that has been representing management since 1946. We have had offices in Nashville, Tennessee, since about 1976.
He says the UAW played a major role as a citizen of Detroit since the 1940s, as did General Motors, Ford, and Chrysler.
The UAW could not bring about the demise of Detroit all by itself, although the UAW most assuredly played a role because of their prominent citizenship. The union can only get what management agrees to give them. at some point, management has to stand up on its hind legs and say, no, you can't have that. But the union, particularly in the 80s, had a great deal of leverage, and they used it. The purpose of the union is to get more for the workers. And sometimes, in fact, frequently, the UAW did that at the expense of a lot of other people.
However, Dr. Solomon at Fairfield University doesn't think it's fair to place so much of the blame on the unions.
The UAW worked with the big three, especially with Ford, to try and right that situation. I think the demise of the auto industry has less to do with the UAW than the way the industry itself responded to competition.
So experts disagree about how responsible the UAW is for Detroit's decline, but none of the three experts I spoke with put all the blame on the UAW, so maybe the UAW did not eat Detroit. If the United Auto Workers do win the vote happening today, Thursday and Friday, it's going to be a unique situation. That's because VW has a works council system. In nearly every VW plant in the world, they use this as an alternative to the American union system. VW officials say the works council system has been a positive experience, but how might it work here? I'm again speaking with Nashville attorney Zan Blue. How exactly is a works council different from the traditional union employer setup?
Honestly, that's a question that would require much more time to answer than we have available.
Okay.
Basically, a works council is a concept out of Europe that is fundamentally different from any equivalent concept that we might have in the United States. It's just a fundamentally different type of relationship between management and labor from anything we have in this country.
Do you think that if the union does get established here in Chattanooga and a works council is established, it will cause negative repercussions? We've even got state representatives saying that it could harm future financial incentives for Volkswagen Chattanooga, things like that, that almost sound like threats.
They do sound like threats, and threats are never useful. Do I think that having a works council will bring about the demise of Volkswagen? No, I do not. I do not believe anyone knows what will happen if a works council is established at Volkswagen, and including the UAW. I believe no one knows what will happen because it's never happened in this country before.
Why do you think that just in general this situation is so significant? We've got reporters from the New York Times here. We've got reporters from all over the world concerned about a few thousand people in Chattanooga on this one vote. Why does this matter so much?
Because organized labor in the private sector of the United States economy has been in a steady downward spiral for many years. The UAW has gone from over 1.5 million members to 500,000 or less. Many people, rightly or wrongly, perceive this as a test of whether the United Auto Workers can survive at all.
Is there anything else you want to add?
Well, I would like to point out that in all seriousness, bashing each other and making threats serves no useful purpose. Volkswagen is a very successful, very prominent member of the Chattanooga community to be shown proper respect. They have made a decision that some people in the community disagree with, and that's rightfully the topic of a debate. But we should engage in that debate in a civil and reasoned manner rather than making all sorts of accusations and speculations that don't really have any basis in fact.
You think the rhetoric around here is maybe getting a little bit out of hand?
Well, I think the rhetoric in union campaigns often gets out of hand, and that's because it is a very emotional issue, justifiably, to everyone involved.
Well, Zan Blue, thank you so much for talking with us.
Well, it's been my pleasure. I appreciate the opportunity.